Madness. It was absolute madness. But he was going to do it anyway. The pilot's hands were sweaty, and his mouth was dry. Sitting in a bomber cockpit 15 feet above the wooden flight deck and 65 feet over a pitching, churning sea, the 29-year-old Army Air Force's captain commanded the 8th plane in line for takeoff. Watching the horizon pitch as the USS Hornet, America's newest aircraft carrier, swung into the wind, he reached over to three pairs of sliding levers mounted on a pedestal between the two cockpit seats. The left-hand pair were the throttles, and these were all the way back. He left these alone. Nudging the middle two black knobs fully forward, Ed York locked the propellers into position. The red-topped levers on the far right controlled the mixture of fuel and air into the carburetors, and the pilot tapped these all the way forward as well, since he would need all the power possible for this takeoff. Through the rudder pedals, the pilot felt a deep rumble as the warship's four massive Babcock and Wilcox steam turbines muscled the 26,000-ton carrier through angry seas at 20 knots. In company with the carrier Enterprise and four cruisers, the tiny task force was now less than 5 hours' flying time off the enemy coast. It was terribly vulnerable and exposed. Like wet shields, 96 gleaming propeller blades from 16 B-25 Mitchell medium bombers whirled in the heavy salt air. Two pilots in each cockpit stared at the twin tails of each preceding plane, the white-flecked ocean, and a Navy lieutenant named Edgar Osborne, who, with a checkered flag, was leaning into the wind forward of the clustered bombers. Feeling the great carrier dip and rise a few times, the signal officer, as he was called, waited until the ship began to drop into a trough, then twirled his flag. When Hornet hit the bottom, the lieutenant lunged forward and pointed at the bow, flag extended like a fencer's foil. Immediately, the lead B-25 lurched ahead, agonizingly slow, as the carrier's bow slowly rose under the wave. Everyone watching had the same thought. He'll never make it. But Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle did just that. Famed aviator and racing pilot with a doctorate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Doolittle represented the best that occurred when formal education was combined with practical experience and natural skill. A born leader and skillful organizer, he had the unique abilities and unimpeachable reputation necessary to make Arnold's basic plan an operational reality in the minimum amount of time. And time was critical. Just 131 days after the Imperial Japanese Navy attacked the American fleet at Pearl Harbor, the United States, reeling from a string of defeats, had finally turned to fight. Although two carriers, four cruisers, eight destroyers, and two oilers hardly constituted an armada, it did constitute the bulk of American naval power remaining in the Pacific. The 15 ships were also a dagger, albeit a thin one, aimed directly at the heart of the Japanese Empire,